It's the 30th of July 2013. My name's Ollie Taylor and I'm here at Gloucestershire Archives with John Davis. John is a long-serving employee of Fielding & Platt, and John's come in today to talk about groups of photos that he's brought in that document the life, the people, the place and the machinery of Fielding & Platt. So first of all, John, could I just ask you to introduce yourself with your name, when you were born, the years that you worked for Fielding & Platt and the jobs that you did for the company, please.
Hello, my name is John Davis. I was born on the 28th of February 1933 at Plumpale near Mitchell Dean in the Forest of Dean. I started at Fielding & Platt on February the 7th, 1949 and then I eventually retired about 8 months after my 65th birthday, which was in 1998.
And what were the jobs that you did, John, when you were at Fielding's?
Well, I did an apprenticeship which took me through the craft school. Then I went to light machine shop, heavy machine shop, fitting shop, back to the light machine shop. And then for the last 6 months of my apprenticeship, I was a junior instructor in the training school with Bert Ravenhill. I then did 2 years national service in the REMI. I then came back and I did another 18 months as an instructor in the training school. And then I went into the drawing office in 1958. And there I remained in one capacity or another until I retired.
That's brilliant. Thank you, John. So let's talk about the first couple of photos that you've brought in. And this first one shows two very handsome gentlemen looking very mucky in front of a press. Who are the people in this photo, John?
Well, I'm on the left-hand side of the picture, and Clive Forster is on the right-hand side. It's a bit of an unusual position to find me in because I didn't normally go to site and get dirty. I went possibly to sort out any problems we may have had, etc. But I sort of stood in for one of our acceptance engineers, supposedly only for 2 days, but I think that resulted in a week. And we have just been refurbishing a 1,000-ton forging press at Chesterfield Cylinders in Chesterfield. It was a very, very mucky job. It was quite dangerous, but anyway, eventually it all proved a success.
And so you'd gone to Chesterfield as a representative of the drawing office. What was your role?
Well, I was probably a section engineer at the time, and one of the jobs I was responsible for was organising and providing drawings and anything that was needed for the guys on site, little knowing that I'd be one of them. But it was just one of many jobs that I did, and it was quite interesting because the plant that this forge press is part of, I'd been responsible for a lot of it. It was a huge plant, and it was for producing oxygen cylinders, the big guys you see in hospitals, etc. And there were quite a number of operations, and so it was quite nice to go back quite a few years later to be involved in this refurbishment, because some of the guys I knew from before were still there, so it was quite like a small reunion.
And what needed refurbishing? Which parts of the press were you working on specifically? Can you remember?
Yes, it was a 1,000-tons press. I don't think we did, at that time, I don't think we did refurbishment on any other part of the plant. But it was a monster press, and it was actually taking it apart, which was very difficult because the frame was a huge casting, I think. And to get some of the components out of there proved extremely difficult. But I seem to remember making a wooden model up in my garage a week or so before, just to see if we could, the best way to take it apart. And it helped, certainly, but it was a difficult job.
And Clive Forster, who you appear in the picture with, what was his role in the refurbishment?
Well, he was an acceptance engineer as well, but there were going to be two of them. But I think, as I said just now, I took the place of a guy called David Jones, who had been delayed on another job. So it was, you know, two of us were obviously better than one.
And you've got lots of tools around your feet, and you're holding some oily rags in your hands. Oh. Were these the tools of the trade, or did you use any other tools?
No, there was nothing particular about that, I don't think. I think we just stood there and somebody sort of takes a picture. Probably it must have been my camera. But, there's anything there. Those are the actual punches that we're used to. It started off as... as I recall, a long time ago, but a solid billet, very, very hot, white hot, and the idea was to punch. When I say a hole in it, didn't go all the way through. It was probably 9/10 of the way through, so obviously there was an end to it, and that went then to a push bench, which then. Push this newly formed billet through a series of dies, each one reducing the diameter and increasing the length more and more, till eventually you finished up at the end with quite a long open-ended cylinder.
And thinking about the site that you're pictured here with, it was Chesterfield Cylinders. What was that site like? What do you recall about working there?
Oh, it was a very busy site. I mean, it was... I think it kept Chesterfield going. We had two plants there. This one was defined B mill for some reason or other, and then we previously put another plant in called A mill, which did a similar thing but much smaller cylinders. It was like most plants. It was very, very noisy, and of course there were lots of furnaces around because I had to heat these billets to white heat. And so there was a clamour and clatter and smelly smoke and steam, and it was just exciting.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add about your trip up to Chesterfield Cylinders?
Well, the only thing I can remember, as I said, I went for 2 days. I don't think I took clothes-wise. I only took enough clothes for 2 days, so I think I had to make them last for 8 eventually. And then I think I came home on Friday afternoon, and Saturday morning I was off on... Well, my wife and I were driving over to France on a holiday, and I seem to remember driving through France on a sunny afternoon, having to stop every hour or so to go to sleep. But eventually we made our destination.
So those away jobs, they could be tiring jobs.
Absolutely, yeah.